Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, creator, sustainer, not only the giver of life, the origin of life, we thank you. We worship you. Father, I thank you for those songs, the wonder of the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, would that our lives would reflect your glory. That in all of our dealings, Father, you would be pleased with us. And to that end, Father, we study your word. We want to be transformed, O God. And we know that we can't do it by ourselves, but that we are utterly dependent on the power of your Spirit and the love of Christ, that we might be transformed in the daily rituals of our lives to honor and glorify you. And as we do that, Father, then I ask that the name of Jesus would be lifted high, that all men may be drawn to him in love, in purity, in respect of the Most High God. Thank you, Father, for calling us sons and daughters. Bless our time in the Word. Make it, as it were, Father, a great feast for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 1. Still in chapter 1 after 2 weeks. So we'll be here for a season in chapter 1, as Jim prayed earlier today. These first few verses in Romans, as a matter of fact, the whole book have the potential to change our lives as we lay ourselves before God. Last week we did verses 1 through 5 or thereabouts, and so I would like to read those, and then today we'll go verses 6 through 13, approximately that place. And so, Lord willing, we'll travel right on through there. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. Wow, that's a lot. To think that we could meander our way through that stretch of scriptures in just 2 short Sundays is an amazing task. And yet, God willing, we'll glean some things out of here, maybe as many as 3 today, that any of the 3 would have an opportunity to change our lives. And as our lives are changed, maybe the world would change. Could you imagine what this country, what this world would be like without the proclamation of the Apostle Paul? He was but one man. We are many. and together we could do more than he did. Have you ever wondered what Jesus meant exactly when he said, we looked at this in Mark a long time ago, you will do even greater things than I will, or I have. Well, I believe what he was talking about was the opportunity for us to impact the world is actually greater than the opportunity that Christ took advantage of, because we're many. He was one. He restricted himself to a fairly small geographic area, and we can permeate the world. This little body of believers, we have a presence in Vietnam. We have a presence in India. We have a presence in Thailand. We have a presence in Mexico. We have a presence in Ukraine. We have a presence in Delta County. Get the idea? We are impacting the world with our message and with the gifts that we bring. We're impacting the world, literally. And we're just a small part of the body of Christ. So Paul is on this task. He has never, at this time when he was writing this, he has never yet visited the church in Rome. We made statement last week, I believe the church in Rome was probably established by some who were in Jerusalem, Jews, on the day of Pentecost, heard Peter proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2, and went back to Rome and began to talk and examine the scriptures and talk about Jesus Christ, and I believe the church was established there. It, in the beginning, was a Jewish church, like nearly every first century church was, probably founded and renting the basement of a synagogue. And then as they reached out in their community, because they had to go to work at the grocery store, some of them worked at the gas station, some of them worked for the oil drilling companies, and as they made their way through the province of Rome, then they began to testify to Jesus about the Gentiles. Now we're going to see an interesting thing as we go through here, but keep in mind there's only two kind of people in the world. There's Jews and there's heathens. Or if you happen to be a heathen, there's Americans and there's heathens. Or if you happen to be another heathen, there are Romans and there are heathens. Get the idea? Because we'll see both of those in this context today. It all depends on our perspective, our worldview. So coming into verse 6, Paul says to this church in Rome, which by this time, this is around 57 or so, the year 57. Paul would only be about how old? I told you last week when he was born, or 2 weeks ago. If the year is 57, how old is Paul? He's about 46 years old, give or take. That's 10 years younger than me. As a matter of fact, Paul wouldn't have seen my birthday, 56, last August. Because if he's 47 here in 57, 46 or so, 48, something like that, then in another 5 or so years, he'll be dead. So Paul was maybe 53, 55 at the time of his martyrdom, somewhere in there. Okay? So Paul is what we would consider a young man when he's writing this book. He's never been to see the church in Rome. It hasn't had, as I've understand it, any apostolic ministry or visit. But Paul has always wanted to go to Rome. And so he's writing this letter, probably from Corinth, in anticipation of visiting Rome. And he says to them in verse 6, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Now, what exactly would he mean called? And you also, he's talking to the church in Rome, which is made up by this time of Jews and Gentiles. Jews and, according to the Jews, heathens. We'll just use the word Gentiles or Greeks. To you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Well, that word called is not the same as the word we see in Ephesians chapter 1, for example, when Paul says you are the elect of God. That word is eklektos. This is a different word. But it has some of the same underpinnings, and there's two underpinnings to this word and to the elect. The first one, to call, is there has been an outward or an external invitation. How many of you in the last year have received a wedding invitation? that's to be called, right? And in Western Colorado, they put RSVP on there with a phone number, and nobody in Western Colorado understands what RSVP stands for. Show me your hand if you do. We'll know what those initials. There's one. Couple. Okay? I didn't think anybody did because nobody ever responds. That I'm aware of. I know I never do. But I always show up because, you know, there's going to be free food. You just know that. And so there's a external invitation with the calling. But the calling of God is a little bit different than a wedding invitation that a human being would send. Turn with me, keep your finger in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to go to John chapter 6. Still after 2 years, I'm trying to get used to this new Bible. My other one, I just know where it is on the page. You know how that goes? John chapter 6, Jesus is having a very interesting conversation with a bunch of Pharisees. And he said that he made a distinction between the children of Abraham and the Pharisees, and that just blew their mind. But he tells them in verse 41 of John chapter 6, that this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And then they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You see, in that verse, Jesus Christ said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's the calling of God that Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 1, verse 6. The calling of God has an external invitation. And the calling of God has an internal, effectual working powered by the Holy Spirit of God. An internal, effectual working powered by the Holy Spirit of God. And by effectual, I mean when God calls or draws a person, that person will in fact come to Christ. Jesus said as much in this same chapter of John chapter 6. And everyone whom the Father gives me will come to me. Fact. And so back in Romans chapter 1, when Paul says to these people, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, that means that there has been an external invitation that some mortal human being has talked to them about the gospel. If you don't believe that, I know you do, but even if you don't, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. We'll get there in about a year. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Verse 12, for there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You see, the effectual calling of God includes the outward invitation from a mortal human being working in concert with the inward effectual drawing of the Spirit of God. And Paul said to the church in Romans, you're some of those. You're some of those. Remember, last week we saw that obedience produces fruit. I forget what verse that is. Verse 5. We received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Faith is the root and obedience is the fruit of the inward effectual calling of the Spirit of God. And that calling, as it's been working on the inside, is supplemented with the outward invitation by a mortal human being. And so Paul is telling the church in Rome, you are part of the called of God. And what are you called to? You're called to be saints. Don't you love to greet somebody that way? Jerry came in this morning and said, God, hello, Saint Jerry. You know, because of our exposure to the Roman Catholicism, they make a big deal about calling certain people saints, as if every born-again believer is not a saint. Paul says we are. That word saints, the Greek word is agios, it means holy. And the corresponding Hebrew word is kadesh, means holy. It means I have taken this article, from that purpose and I'm moving it over here for this purpose. And Paul wrote to Timothy in one of his letters to Timothy, in a house, in a big house, there are many articles for different uses, some for noble, some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, ignoble things, then he can be a vessel for the former, noble purposes. And I always have a picture in my mind because some of these things are made out of wood and some of them are made out of gold. The difference is between a spittoon or a gold mug that the king drinks out of. And Paul says it's up to us. If we cleanse ourselves from those ignoble things, then we can be made into an instrument for noble purposes. That's what the word saints is. We have been taken from ignoble to be made into noble instruments in the service of the king. Saints. We are saints of the Most High God. God has set us apart from the ordinary things of earth and made us special, special use in his kingdom, in his purpose. And so Paul says, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Remember in another letter, he said, don't you know that you've been bought at a price? You are not your own. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ and to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. That's that same calling, the inward effectual calling with the outward invitation that comes to us to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. When Paul says grace and peace, he has combined a traditional Roman greeting with a traditional Hebrew greeting. The Romans, when they would come down the street, you know, if we're walking down the street and we see a friend, we say, hey, or hi, something like that. They would say, rejoice! Wouldn't that be a cool greeting? The word for that in the Greek is kare. And so they walk down the street and they say, kare! That is, rejoice! That's how they greet one another. Paul changed it. Instead of saying kare, he says karis. Grace to you. Grace to you. The Hebrews, as they greet one another, shalom. Shalom. Peace to you. And so Paul, in his letters, combines the Roman greeting and the Hebrew greeting, and he says, grace to you, God's merit to you, God's favor to you, and the peace of God to you. Wow, what a greeting. What a greeting. I wish for you God's favor and God's peace in your life. What is God's peace in our life? Isn't it that calm assurance that things will be okay? You see, peace doesn't depend on outward or conflict. It depends on inner absence of conflict. The world around us can be in turmoil. But inside of us, that effectual calling that God's been doing through His Holy Spirit brings us a calm to know that it'll be okay. I remember so vividly that time a few years ago in July when I got a bad report on the church, just a financial report, nothing to do with the people. And we're not accustomed to bad financial reports in this church. We very seldom have them, but one July I did. And so I remembered what Hezekiah did. When Hezekiah received a bad report from the messenger of Sennacherib, he took the writing and he went into his office and he set that paper on the desk and he looked up to God and he said, what about this? And God said, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but you trust in the name of the Lord your God, it'll be okay. I'll fight that battle. And the angel of God went out that night and killed 185,000 of the troops of Assyria. And they fled. Well, I took that financial report, remembering that, not thinking that I was a Hezekiah by any means, but I laid it on my desk in my office and I said, what about this? And God very distinctly said to me, I didn't hear it, but my heart did. He very distinctly said to me, quote, if it doesn't surprise me, don't let it scare you. Wow. You know, that covered a whole lot more than just that bad financial report. Really? Because I began to reflect backwards and frontwards and present words. There was a lot in my life that didn't surprise God, but I was allowing it to scare me. And God said that to me. If it doesn't surprise me, don't let it scare you. And Paul is saying to these people, the favor of God and the peace of God rest on you. That's what that is. The favor of God and the peace of God. And then he says, first, I just love Paul. First, I thank my God. You can read through the whole book of Romans, and he never gets to, secondly, he doesn't. He might have been the sequel that wasn't published. He says, first, and that's what he means, using this word first like he does. He means, well, first here we're going to deal with this, and then secondly, but he never got to the secondly. We don't see that. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. That word through is important. You see, because Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. Now, how is it that we get the grace and peace from God? Remember? Through him, beginning in verse 5, through him, talking about Jesus Christ, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles. Now, we saw where Paul used that word we as a plural construct, which means just himself. But he says, through Jesus Christ, I receive grace, and in Paul's case, I receive apostleship. And now Paul says, through Jesus Christ, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. And so Paul is saying, I thank God, but I thank God through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the mediator between man and God. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man, God or manward, and he's the mediator between man and God, Godward. So all the blessings of God come to us through Jesus Christ, and all the praise for God goes to him through Jesus Christ. It's that mediator role that he has, and that word through is important. It's only through Jesus Christ and none other, but it has to be through Jesus Christ that we interact with God the Father, and he interacts with us. All of his interaction with us is through Jesus Christ. And all of our reaction with him is through Jesus Christ, both ways. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Now, obviously, that's hyperbole. Paul is not talking about every single person on the planet. What he's talking about is the faith of this church in Rome. And the name of the Church of Rome is so vibrant, it's being reported in all of the areas where the gospel has been proclaimed. In other words, they have some kind of communication network like Facebook where the church in Rome is being broadcast in all of the areas where the gospel of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed. Wow, that's vibrant, isn't it? And Paul is excited about that. He's excited about the growth of their faith and how it's impacting not only their city, but all of the cities where the gospel has been proclaimed. Because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness. God, whom I serve with my whole heart. Whew. Remember the verses that we read in Colossians this morning as we were praying or something? Turn with me, Colossians chapter 3 real quick. Colossians 3:1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. How many distractions do we allow in our lives that takes not only our mind but our heart away from God? Paul didn't allow those distractions. He's the one who said, I take every thought captive and subject it to the will of God. Paul says here, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son. We started out this afternoon or this morning talking about how Paul changed the world, one man. There were several of them that changed the world. 12 in all, or 13, disciples of Christ. each of them in their own way changed the world. But Paul, being the apostle to the Gentiles, changed our world more than any other in his day and in continuing. And the reason why is because right here, with my whole heart. He did not allow distractions to get him off course. Distractions come. Distractions came to Paul. You can bet on it. But he did not allow the distractions to take him off course at all. We have to stay on course. That means we have to know which course we're on. One of the most important people in a ski race, and especially if it's bad weather where you can't see very far, is the guy they call the course setter. If there's fresh snow, which there usually is, this guy goes down through the course and he sets the trail. He has to make every gate right. You know, they have two poles. You ski between the poles. If you ski outside, you're disqualified. And distractions can cause a person to ski outside the course and they get disqualified even if they get back on track later on. You have to go back and ski through that gate and then continue on. The course setter is the most important guy in the race on a bad day. And Paul said, I will not allow anything to take me off track. Anything. Wow. That's discipline. That's not just an act of God, friends. That's personal discipline. Because Paul had the same distractions that you and I have. Maybe more. Because of his stature. And he said, I will not allow that to take me off course. Never. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness. Now, he knows that his course, as it were, is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus has given each of us a course when he said, go into all the world among all the nations and make disciples, teaching them to obey my commands, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's for all of us. Paul was engaged in that, but he was specifically in an apostolic ministry. It's important to know what your course is. How do you find out? Well, you just dial up 1-800-BIBLE-FOR-YOU and take the little 10-minute quiz and they'll tell you. Not. You find out the course that God has laid out for your life by reading and praying His Word. And when our heart is set on pleasing God, then he will communicate to us, most assuredly, this is your work in the kingdom. And then our responsibility is to move in that course. Move. Put the car in gear and go. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. Part of Paul's apostolic ministry is to pray. Now, this is a church that he did not plant. But in his prayers for the churches, he remembered the church of Rome. Very often, I've shared with you over the last couple of years, and I don't know if it's a function of age or just exactly what it is, but very often I wake up around 4 in the morning, 3:30 or 4, and can't get back to sleep. And I take that for the last couple of years to be a call of prayer, call to prayer. And between 3:30 or 4 and 5:30 in the morning is some most often my sweetest time with the Lord. There are no distractions. I don't even have to get out of bed. I have abandoned the legalism of praying in bed. I stay in bed where it's nice and toasty-oasty. And I lay there and I pray. And I pray for you by name. Even if I don't know what's going on in your life, that you need prayer for. I pray for you, and I pray for friends and loved ones of mine who either don't attend this church because they don't live here or don't have opportunity. I was praying this morning for Chris and Katie because they've recently left to go to Idaho, and they need prayer while they're up there, and they need prayer to make sure they come back. Chris is too often tempted to stay in Idaho. And so we have to pray that out of his life and out of his heart. And George, make sure you do not send this CD, or maybe it'd be better if we do send it to him.
It's on the net.
Oh, that's right. Ah! How constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. Isn't that interesting? Paul desperately for years now has wanted to visit the church in Rome. You see the difference between Paul and myself? I just want to go hunt bears in Alaska. He wants to go to Rome and not feed the lions, but plant the church, strengthen the church, establish the church. He was anxious to go there and establish that church. How do I know that? Verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. You know, if I had a guy like Paul that sent a letter to Surface Creek Community Church, and I knew of his stature in the Christian community like Paul's, and he said, I long for a way to come to you, I would do everything within the power under the sun to make that happen. I would want a Paul to come and impart some gift to us for our strengthening and the establishment of this church. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Paul wasn't being arrogant here saying, I am Paul the Apostle and I can help your church and strengthen it. Paul says, I just want to impart to you the gift that God has given me, and I'm anxious for you to impart to me the gift God has given you. I had a God sighting this week that I didn't speak about earlier because I already had it incorporated in my notes. And forgive me for picking on you, LD, while your family is here. Just get over it. You're a big boy. LD came over to our house on Thursday evening and blessed us with his presence. And he came out of the truck and he gave me a big old bear hug. You know how the people in this church love to hug. And he said to me as we're walking down to the bridge, he said, Copper, I've changed my mind about church. And I thought, oh, I've done it again. I've chased somebody away. And he said, from now on, I'm going to that church to give hugs, not to get hugs. And I said, oh, praise God. You know, because either way, it's like I used to make bets with my brother. I didn't care if I won or lost because I bet him a banana split. If I win, I buy the banana splits. If I lose, he buys the banana splits. Who cares? We get the banana split. He says, I've changed my mind about church. I'm going to that church to give hugs, not to get hugs. Man, you win both ways, right? Paul said, I can't wait to go to Rome because I want to impart to you the gift God has given me, and I want to receive from you the gift God has given you. Now I want to ask you on this. Let's take it out of Paul's life. Why did you come here this morning? Did you come here with the specific intent to bless me? I came with the intent to bless you. Did you come with the intent to bless someone else, not just me? I hope they came to bless you. See, that's what Paul said. He said, I want to go to church so I can bless you and so you can bless me. Because I have this gift from God, you have that gift from God, and when we put those gifts together, wow, it's like firecrackers. Why did you come this morning? That you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, or I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other ethnic groups. That's the word, ethnos. I have tried and tried and tried to come to you, but I've been prevented. That's okay, because that's God's will. But now the way is open. He didn't realize it was open, that he was going to go under guard and chain, as in jail. But nevertheless, the way was open. And he said, I want to have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other Gentiles. You see, to the Jews, there was only Jews and heathens. To the Romans, there was only the Greeks and the heathens. And Paul says, among all ethnicities, I've had harvest. Why? Because he didn't see ethnos. He saw people called by God. He didn't know for sure which ones were experiencing the inward effectual call, but he knew his responsibility was to give the outward invitation. And he said, I'm coming to you, and I'm going to give the outward invitation, and I'm going to deposit the gift as God has given me in your midst to bless you, and I expect you to do the same for me. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? And Paul says, I've had a harvest among all the different ethnos, all the ethnicities where God has sent me. So I have a question and some comments for us to remember. Number one, there has in fact been, if you're here and you're believing in Jesus Christ, which I assume you are, there has in fact been an effectual calling inwardly in your life. And there was an effectual outward invitation. And because of those two working together, the inward effectual call, the outward invitation, you now have been made from ignoble purposes to noble. You're a saint. Kadosh. Agios. You are holy before God. You have a specific purpose before God. You're an instrument in His kingdom. Secondly, I want you to know and to experience the favor, the unmerited favor, and the inward peace of God. Grace and peace to you, brothers and sisters. And thirdly, I want you to know you have a responsibility in the kingdom of God to deposit the gift that God has given you, not only in this church, but among all the ethnicities in the world where you go. You've been called, you've been rained on with grace and peace, and now go and deposit that gift that God has given you. That's the end of Romans for today. Brother Jim, would you come and lead us in prayer, please? Thank you.